إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وأصحابه وسلم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. Brothers, when the Prophet Muhammad, may the peace of Allah be upon him, was in the cave and he heard the sound, or he heard the voice or the command, Iqra, read. And he was squeezed and he says, I cannot read. And he was squeezed a second time. And he was commanded a second time, Iqra, read. And he says, I cannot read. He was squeezed a third time and says, read again. Iqra, bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaqa al-insana min alaq. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram, alladhi allama bil-qalam, allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. And these were the first verses of revelation. Read in the name of your Lord who created from a clot. Read. And your Lord is most generous who taught by the pen, taught man that which he did not know. The Prophet went home to his beloved wife and said, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, cover me and cover me. She says, what's up? He says, just cover me. لَقَدْ خَشِيتُ عَلَى نَفْسِي, because I am worrying for myself. The experience was so profound for him. He says, I am worrying for myself. She says, لَا يَخْزِيكَ اللَّهُ أَبَدًا, Allah would never do that to you. Because you are someone, إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِيمُ, you're someone who joins the ties of kinship. You entertain the guests, you're good to the poor. You give to the poor, you're so forgiving and so kind. And these are qualities that our Prophet was known by before he became a Prophet and during his prophethood until his death. In fact, during the early days of Islam, when the propaganda was so intense, there was a man called Tufail ibn Amr ad-Dawsi from Yemen. And he was a wise man, and he was a poet, and he had the ability to cure people. He could heal with the permission of Allah. And once he came to Mecca, and the pagans of Mecca, they went to the outskirts, awaiting for his arrival, to warn him about the Prophet. And they met him, and they said, listen, there's a man who claims now in Mecca to be a Prophet, and he's misleading everyone. And he's a liar, and he's possessed, and he's a soothsayer, and so on and so forth. All the typical things that were saying about him. And he became so worried, he placed wool in his ears. He placed cotton wool in his ears, just in case he was tempted by the words of this man. And with that wool in his ears, he's walking the streets of Mecca, until he sees the Prophet of Islam praying at the Kaaba. And he stops, and he ponders and he contemplates and says, listen, speaking to himself, I am a wise man, I'm a poet. People come to me asking for advice. I can distinguish between truth and error. And I've never seen an action like that action. And he says, I want to discover more. And he goes closer and closer to see what this man is praying about. What is he saying? Why are the people so scared about him and his talk? And he comes closer and closer. And he says, listen, O Muhammad, may the peace of Allah be upon him. I want to help you. You know, you're sick, and I have some ability to cure people. I want to cure you because you're a sick man. You know, and the Prophet of Islam began to recite some verses from the Quran. He says, when I first set my eyes upon you, I saw you in an action, I've never seen an action like that before. Now when I hear your words, I've never heard words like that before. Ashhadu annaka Rasulullah, I testify you are the Prophet of Allah. The Prophet of Islam was someone, even in those early days of Mecca, when things were so difficult, and he was an orphan, his parents had died from a very young age, he was still good to people. And his kindness and his compassion and his mercy, it reflected. In fact, there was once a woman who was carrying some bags, shopping bags, and she was walking the streets, and the Prophet notices her. And he goes to this old woman and takes the bags from her and says, let me help you along your way. And so he takes the bags from her and he's taking these bags to her home. All the while the woman is making conversation with the Prophet, not knowing that he is the Prophet. And he says, and she says, listen, you know, I want to warn you about someone. There is a man in Mecca who claims now to be a Prophet, and he's misleading everyone, and he's a liar, and he's a soothsayer, and all the things that they used to say. And the Prophet was patient and didn't say anything to her, just listened to her conversation. Until they get to her home, and she says, you know, it's you've been kind enough to carry my shopping, at least tell me now what your name is. And he says, my name is Muhammad. She says, Ashhadu annaka Rasulullah, I testify you are the Prophet of Allah and the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People would come into Medina, a man arrived in Medina. He says, Ariftu, I know from his face that this is not the face of a liar. Wa kana awwalu ma sami'tu min kalamihi, and the first thing I heard from his mouth was, Afshu salam wa at'imu at'am. وَصِلُوا الْأَرْحَامِ وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ النِّيَامِ تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِالسَّلَامِ. Spread peace and feed the people and join ties of kinship and pray in the night when the people are asleep and you will enter paradise in peace. And this is how he was known even in the early days of Mecca. The Prophet was called, of course, As-Sadiq Al-Amin, the truthful one. The one who never told a lie in his life. And when the Muslims began to send delegates to foreign lands inviting them to Islam, they sent a letter and people to the Byzantine Emperor Heraclius. And when they went to Heraclius inviting the man to Islam, some of the enemies of Islam followed them along the way to confuse Heraclius. And Heraclius begins to ask some questions. You know, tell me about him. What happens with you people? You know, tell me about the man. Is he good? Is he bad? And one of the things he asks is, has he ever told a lie? And Abu Sufyan, who wasn't a Muslim by that time, he says, I wanted to say he's a liar, except I feared that the people behind me from the Muslims of Mecca would always think that I am a liar then. Because they know and I know this man has never told a lie. And Heraclius then says later on, فَسَأَلْتُكَ هَلْ كُنْتُمْ تَتَّهِمُونَ بِالْكَذِبِ, I asked you whether he used to lie, whether he was known as a liar. فَذَكَرْتَ أَنْ لَا, and you told me no. فَعَرِفُوا أَنَّهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيَذَرَ الْكَذِبَ عَلَى النَّاسِ فَيَكْذِبَ عَلَى اللَّهِ, and I realized if this man never used to lie against the people, how on earth would he lie against Allah? How on earth would he lie against Allah? The Prophet was known for his kindness, he was known for his compassion, he was known for his mercy. And Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةَ الْعَالَمِينَ, that we did not send you except as a mercy unto all the worlds. And his mercy was also those people during the early days of Mecca. There was once a Bedouin who was a Muslim who came to Medina, and the Prophet was wearing a very thick cloak, and the Bedouin pulled the cloak and it left a mark on the neck of the Prophet. And the Bedouin says, listen, O Muhammad, give me the property of Allah that you have in your possession. And the Prophet says, well, all the property, everyone's property belongs to Allah, and I am his slave. And the man said, okay then. And the Prophet said, should I retaliate against you? Should I pay back now the fact that you left a mark on my neck? Should I retaliate against you? And the Bedouin said, no. And the Prophet said, why not? He says, because you, O Muhammad, you don't repay a bad action with another bad action. You know, I wouldn't expect something like that from you. We wouldn't expect something like that because you're forbearing and you accept the wrongs of the people. A man once came and said, O Muhammad, are you the one who is leading everyone astray? Are you the cause of this tumult in society, leading everyone astray? He says, ذَلِكَ هُوَ اللَّهُ, that is Allah who is leading everyone astray. The man became frustrated. Then what are you telling the people to do? He says, I'm telling them to ascribe no partners with Allah. I'm telling them to worship Allah alone. I'm telling them to give to poor people like yourself. I'm telling them to feed the orphans. And at the end he says, I testify that you are the Prophet of Allah. Because all it needed really was for people to listen to the man. Just to hear the words of the man. Just to think for a moment, what is the message of this man? What was he walking the streets doing on a cold, wet, muddy, rainy day? He walked the streets by himself and knocked on the door of his number one enemy, Abu Jahl. And the man opened the door. He says, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِحُ. He says, just say that there is none who deserves worship except the one God, and you will be successful. Because that was his only concern, that people who were worshipping other than Allah would renounce that worship and turn that worship to Allah. Just like Moses, is it not so? Who was walking the streets of Egypt in a time when the Pharaoh was walking the streets and he was saying, أَنَ رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى, I am your Lord the Most High. But Moses, Musa alayhi salam, was calling the people back to the worship of Allah. Just like Jesus, the son of Mary, may the peace of Allah be upon him, when he was asked, even according to the Bible, when he was asked about the first commandment, about the first thing, before anything else, the first thing. What is the first thing, the most important thing, before we need to know anything else? And he said in his own language, Shema Israel Adonai Eleheinu Adonai Echad, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is only one. The same thing that Moses was given in the Old Testament, and our Prophet came to confirm, not a new truth, a universal truth, La ilaha illallah, that there is none who deserves worship except Allah, that there is only one God, Allah. And that's what his concern was for humanity. The Prophet himself describes the worst day in his life. And he says that the worst day in my life was in those early days of Mecca, when the pagans of Mecca instructed their children and their slaves to throw stones at me. And they began to do that. And I came to them to deliver to them a message. But they began to throw stones at me, and he bled on that day. And Gabriel descended, Jibreel alayhi salam descended and says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah hears you and Allah knows what they say about you, and Allah has instructed the angel of the mountain to do whatever you command him to do. And the angel greeted the Prophet and said, O Prophet of Allah, if you wish, I will crush these people between these two mountains. I can do that. I will crush these people between these two mountains. He says, بَلْ أَرْجُوا أَنْ يُخْرِجَ اللَّهَ مِنْ أَصْلَابِهِمْ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِهِ شَيْئًا. I prefer instead that from the loins of these people will emerge a people who worship only Allah and ascribe no partners unto Him. Because that was his concern. Not for destruction. But his concern was that people, humanity, we come to the realization of Allah. That Allah is one and Allah has no partners, and that is a universal truth. The Prophet's kindness and the Prophet's love was so forceful, even a non-Muslim author called Diwan Sharma from India, a non-Muslim author, says that Muhammad was the soul of kindness and his influence was felt and never forgotten by those who knew him. Take for instance the companion Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar was someone who once, you know, he laughed and he cried. On one particular day, at one moment he laughed and he cried. And he was asked, you know, why did you laugh? He says, because I remember before I was a Muslim, when I was a pagan, that we used to make idols, we used to worship idols, and we used to construct them ourselves and make them ourselves. And he says, I remember it was a very, very hot day and we were on a journey and it was so hot and we ran out of food. And the only thing that we had were dates. But those dates formed an idol that we used to worship. And no one could obviously eat the idol that was made of dates. It was a blasphemy. Until we continued in our journey and we became so hungry that we all just looked at the idol. And within a few minutes it was no longer an idol. And he says, that made me laugh. Now I'm a Muslim and I realize the silliness of my worship. And he cried and he was asked, why did you cry? He said, because I remember before Islam, I had a daughter. And the practice of the pagan Arabs was to bury their daughters alive. He said, I had a daughter. And I helped to dig the grave for my own daughter. And as the grave was being dug, I was holding her. And as I was holding her, and the dust and the dirt from the grave that was being dug landed on my face, my daughter was wiping the dust from my face. My daughter was wiping the dust from my face. Still I had no pity. And I threw her in the grave and buried her alive. And that made me cry. But look at the transformation. This man, this very same man, became the same man when he became the leader of the Muslimin. He was once riding a short-legged camel. And another companion passed him and says, Umar, why are you doing that for? I mean, we have plenty camels, good camels for you to ride. He says to him, if a she-camel or a she-goat on the Euphrates coast drowns, Allah would punish me because of that. He says, if a donkey trips over in the road, because we haven't built very good roads, Allah would punish me because of that. And look at the compassion and the mercy. From having no compassion for his own child before Islam, and now the compassion and the mercy for animals after Islam. And this is the legacy and the impression he left upon people. The Prophet was known as a teacher. Once he approached his companion Mu'adh ibn Jabal. And he says, Ya Mu'adh, inni uhibbuk, Mu'adh, I love you. Now what about that in terms of giving advice, right? You don't slam each other over the head with a hammer to give advice. He says, Mu'adh, inni uhibbuk, I love you. Faqul, so say. And I guarantee most of us after this prayer will say these words. But just think for a moment how these words came to us in the first place. They came with love. And so Mu'adh remembered them. And the one he narrated them to remembered them. And it goes down until our time. Because they came with love. He says, Mu'adh, I love you. Faqul, so say, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadik. We say that. after the prayer almost every day, "O Allah, I ask for your support in remembering you. For could we remember Allah without the help of Allah? I ask for your support in thanking you, for we could never do that without the help of Allah. And I ask for your support in worshipping you well." But the point here is how he was taught with love. A man once came to the Prophet and says, "O Prophet of Allah, I have a weakness with adultery. Allow that for me. Right? Allow me to do that. Make that permissible for me. Give me permission to commit adultery with whoever I like." What did the Prophet do? He says, "Come forward." He wasn't coming forward to lend him one. He says, "Come forward." The man came forward. He says, "Sit down." The man sat down. He says, "Listen. أَتُحِبُّهُ لِأُمِّكِ." He says, "Do you like that for your mother? Would you like for someone to do that to your mother?" قَالَ لَا وَاللَّهِ, "No, by Allah, may I be a sacrifice for you." وَلَنَّاسْ يُحِبُّونَهُ لِأُمَّهَاتِهِمْ, "And neither would the people like that for their mothers." أَفَتُحِبُّهُ لِإِبْنَتِكِ, "Would you like that for your daughter?" لَا وَاللَّهِ, "No, by Allah, may I be a sacrifice for you." وَلَنَّاسْ يُحِبُّونَهُ لِبَنَاتِهِمْ, "And neither would the people like for other people to do that to their daughters." He says, "أَفَتُحِبُّهُ, would you like that for your sister?" He says, "No, by Allah." The Prophet says, "Well, neither would the people like for that to be done to their sisters." And he went on and on, until he placed his hand on the man's chest. And he says, "Allahumma ighfir dhanbahu wa tahhir qalbahu, O Allah, forgive the sins of this man and cleanse and purify his heart." And the man says, "I never had a problem after that day." Because he was taught with goodness, and he was taught with love, and he was taught with an example. The Prophet of Allah was someone who had complete trust in Allah in spite of the persistent attacks against him, his family and his companions. In fact, he was one day resting by a tree, and he placed his sword on the branch of a tree, and a non-Muslim man came and he took the sword from the branch. And the Prophet woke up and he says, "Muhammad, who will save you now? Who will save you now?" And the Prophet got up, and as he got up, he said, "Allah." And the man was so startled by the name Allah, he dropped the sword. And the Prophet picked up the sword, and the Prophet says, "And who will save you now?" And the man begged for clemency, and he was forgiven. All the while, the Prophet explained to him about Islam, about Allah, about our religion, about our teachings. And the man went back to his people as a Muslim. And he says, "لَقَدْ جِئْتُكُمْ مِنْ عِنْدَ خَيْرَ النَّاسِ, I have come from the best of people." Once the Prophet, there was a man in Mecca whose name was Uthman bin Shayba. He kept the keys to the Kaaba. And once he was entertaining an entourage of non-Muslim noblemen. And he had the keys, and they all came with their fine clothes. And he was going to open the Kaaba for them. And somewhere there, he saw the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet joined the line, because he too wanted to enter the house of Allah. This was in Mecca. And Uthman saw him, and he approached the Prophet, and he pushed him. And he says, "Oh Muhammad, you are not deserving to enter this house. You are not honorable enough to enter this house. You don't deserve to enter this house." And the Prophet got up and said, "Uthman, oh Uthman, what would you do on a day when these keys that are in your hands are in my hand, and I will do with them whatever I like to do?" And Uthman says, "Well, that day is not going to come. But if that day did come, then that day we will all be destroyed." It wasn't even a decade when the Prophet rode into Mecca with thousands of followers, and his head on the neck of his camel with humility. This wasn't an arrogant triumph. He went with humility. This was a victory from Allah. And he rode to the Kaaba. And who did he see? Uthman bin Shayba. and he took the keys from his hand and he went to the Kaaba and he destroyed the idols, did what he wanted to do. When the Prophet migrated to Medina, he was in the cave with that great companion Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and they were hiding from the enemy. And Abu Bakr says, "O Prophet of Allah, you know, if they look down upon us right now, they would see us." And the Prophet says, "Ya Abu Bakr, ma dhannuka bi ithnain Allahu thalithuhuma." Abu Bakr, what do you think of two of whom the third is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Complete reliance and dependence and trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet of Allah, in terms of his private life, he was a simple man. He was someone who would mend his own clothes, he would milk the goats, he would sweep the floor, he would help out in domestic responsibilities. And the Prophet would devote his time, the morning and the night, to worshipping his Lord. In fact, in one particular night, he was praying so profusely that his feet became swollen. And his beloved wife Aisha, she asked, she says, "Oh Prophet of Allah, you're praying so profusely, but Allah has forgiven you, you are a Prophet of Allah." And he says, "Afala akuna abdan shakuran?" Should I then not be a grateful servant of Allah? Should I then not be a grateful servant of Allah? That he would spend his entire night in prayer and his feet would become swollen. Once his beloved wife Hafsa, she doubled his bedding. He would sleep on a mat of palm fiber and she doubled the bedding four times for him so he can have a good night's sleep. And he slept that night and he woke up the following morning. He says, "Oh Hafsa, what did you do with the bed?" She says, "I doubled it for you four times." He says, "Place the bed the way it used to be, because its comfort kept me from praying in the night." Because its comfort kept me from praying in the night. Once he was seen by his companion Umar. Umar entered the house and he saw the Prophet's back and it had marks on his back. Because of the bed he would sleep on, he had marks. He says, "Oh Prophet of Allah, I have seen the kings of Persia and Byzantium and Rome. I have seen the opulence and extravagance in which they live. And you are the Prophet of Allah. You are more deserving than that." He says, "Umar, doesn't it please you that they have this world and that we have the next life? Doesn't that please you, oh Umar, that we are selling this life for the next life? And so it doesn't bother us too much how we spend our days and nights in the discomfort that we find ourselves in." And like this, the Prophet of Allah, and you know, it's absolutely impossible to touch upon his life or to say anything about his life in the time that I've spoken of today. There is a non-Muslim author called Bosworth Smith. He wrote a book about the Arabs and he says that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he was head of the church and head of the state. He was Caesar and Pope in one. He was Pope without the pretensions of the Pope. He was Caesar without the legions of Caesar, without the army of Caesar, without the bodyguard of Caesar. And he says, if any man in human history could claim that he ruled by a divine right, then it was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. George Bernard Shaw, he said about the Prophet, he says, he must be called the savior of humanity. He must be called the savior of humanity. For if a man like him could take over the responsibilities of the modern world, he would succeed in bringing it the much needed peace and happiness that it needs. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us of those who really appreciate what we have in this man, and make us of those whose love is not only a sentimental one, but one of obedience and ta'a and ittiba'a and following. For this is where lies our success, that we follow the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we emulate his example, his sunnah, his way, and that we be like him. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to send peace and blessings on him and his pure family and his companions. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Brothers and sisters, one of the Prophet's main concerns was the fact that we would leave this world one day. One day, in fact, he was walking with his companions and they saw another group of companions who were digging a grave. And he asked, "What are they doing?" He says, "They're digging a grave," and he rushed ahead of them until he got to the grave first, and he knelt down, began to weep tears. Tears were rolling down his face. He says, "Ay ikhwani limithli hadha fa'iddu." Oh my brothers, for a day like this, prepare yourself. For a day like this, prepare yourself. That was a concern of the Prophet, that we die before we reach the grave with belief that there is only one God and that he is the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was his concern. In fact, in his last sermon, in his final sermon to humanity and to mankind and to his people, he says to them, "Inna rabbakum wahid," that your Lord is one. "Wa inna abakum wahid," and your father is one. "Kullukum min Adam," all of you are from Adam. "Wa Adam in turab," and Adam is from dust. Meaning, remember your origin. Remember who you are. Remember the preparations we need to make to meet Allah. And that we will all leave this world one day. And the Prophet himself, he passed away after 23 years from the experience in the cave. And what followed thereafter was perhaps one of the most profound religious speeches in human history. For his great companion Abu Bakr arose, may Allah be pleased with him. And he says, "Man kana minkum ya'bud Muhammadan fa inna Muhammadan qad mat. Wa man kana minkum ya'budu Allah fa inna Allah hayyun la yamut." Whoever amongst you worships Muhammad should know that Muhammad is dead sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But whoever amongst you worships Allah should know that Allah is alive and Allah does never die. Bringing them back to the realization that we are here to worship Allah. And the Prophet came to teach us about him, and so that we do not worship him, we only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm going to end with one last quote by this non-Muslim historian, French historian called Alphonse de Lamartine. Alphonse de Lamartine says about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that if greatness of purpose and smallness of means and astounding results are the three criteria of a human genius, who dare compare any man in history with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says, with regards all standards of human greatness, we may well ask, was there any man greater than he? And there was no man greater than he sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to connect us to his sunnah, to his example, to make us of those who emulate and follow him. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive the living and the dead. And there's a special request for us to make dua for Dr. Shahid's father-in-law who passed away. May Allah forgive his father-in-law. May Allah have mercy on him. And may Allah have mercy on all the Muslims who have passed away. Allahumma ighfir li hayyina wa mayyitina ya arhamar rahimin. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت يا أرحم الراحمين. We ask Allah to have mercy on us and mercy on the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ask Allah to help the Muslimin and those who are grief stricken wherever they are. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to help the orphans of this Ummah. We ask Allah to help those who are impoverished. May Allah help those who are widows in this Ummah. May Allah help those who suffer aggression and violence every day of their lives. May Allah help those whose houses are bombarded and bulldozed in Palestine. May Allah help the Muslimin wherever they are suffering aggression. Ya Allah, we ask you to help them. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal in His infinite mercy and clemency to forgive us and to allow us entry into paradise and to save us from the fire. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Aqimus salaam.